Today's reading comes from John chapter 19, starting at verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me. That was a good start. Hi, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here on this Good Friday morning. You know, a number of years ago, I used to work for the ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and my job was to conduct interviews with people in the community, gathering information about life in this country. And there was one interview in particular that has always stuck with me. You see, I was doing a survey asking about people's financial well-being. And I spoke to this guy who saw himself as a bit of a property guru. But as the survey went on, I discovered something unusual about his methods. You see, what he would do is he would go to the bank, and he would take out a personal loan at an exorbitant interest rate. And he'd tell the bank that the loan was for something like a car or for renos on his house. But then he'd actually take that money and he would use it as a deposit for another house. And then he would take out an investment loan at a fairly high rate for the balance. And it seemed that he had done this a number of times over. And so as a result of that, he was drowning in debt. Because, of course, he was struggling to keep up all of the repayments. He had maxed out his credit cards in order to cover them, and so it went on. He may have owned a few properties, but his loans and his liabilities, they were enormous and they were growing. And the crazy thing is that I don't think he even realized it for himself. I wonder if we can imagine what it is like to be drowning in debt. Sometimes we hear stories, don't we, about farmers who've taken out huge loans to buy livestock or to sow next year's crop. But if there's a drought or some other disaster, well, then they're left with the loan, but they've got nothing to show for it. And the weight of that can become too much to bear. A lot of young families have an idea of what this is like too. With house prices skyrocketing, you can so easily find yourself with a mortgage that's so much bigger than you ever expected. Wondering if you'll ever be able to keep up with it. Wondering if you'll ever be able to pay it back. And how much worse it would become if things go wrong, like if you lost your job or you became sick. You could end out so easily with an impossible situation. What's it feel like to really be drowning in debt? To have loans that you can never, ever repay? Can you imagine it? It would be so overwhelming that cause you so much anxiety and despair and hopelessness, even shame and guilt. It would be horrible. And you would be longing for that heavy burden to be taken away. But friends, this morning we need to realize that every single one of us has a debt, an enormous, unpayable debt, which we owe to the Lord our God. And Jesus spoke about that. Perhaps you remember the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." He's reminding us we've got a serious liability before God. Or there's that parable in Matthew 18 where Jesus says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." The king is the Lord. The servant is us. The outstanding amount is gigantic. The bags of gold mentioned in this parable would be worth $20 billion in today's currency. It's a monumental amount. Far more than any of us could ever afford. And in that culture, it meant that you and your whole family would be sold into miserable slavery for the rest of your lives. But you may be wondering, what is this grave and serious debt that we're talking about? What do I owe to God? Well, friends, we're talking about the debt of our own sinfulness. We're talking about all those different ways that we have offended the God who made us, the God who we're responsible before, the God who is going to judge the living and the dead. We're talking about how we have fallen so far short, rejecting His will, all the mistakes and all the failures and all the transgressions, those evil thoughts and feelings that we have harbored in our hearts, those hurtful words and insults that we have spoken with our mouths, those deeply immoral deeds that we have committed. It's those things that we saw earlier in the video: anger, pride, lust, greed, anxiety, envy, gossip, lies, hatred, abuse. And when we take an honest look, we know how guilty we are. Please pause with me and think for a moment about the shameful things that you have done in the past. Things you wish you could go back and change, but you can't. Things that you carry with you. Things that weigh you down. Such incredible selfishness, when we were thinking only of ourselves and we trampled over others, hurting our own children, our spouse, our parents, someone who used to be a friend, the unfaithfulness, the addictions, the deceit and arrogance, and the unforgiveness, things we prefer to forget, but yet we cannot forget. Our enormous, unpayable debt is the account that we have accrued before God. And every single day we're adding to that bill. We're slaves to sin and we will never be free. And one day we're going to stand before him and he will hold us accountable. And it will cost us our life. Because the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 tells us. That's what we've earned by incurring this enormous, unpayable debt to the Lord. And friends, if a monetary debt on this earth would make us feel horrible, then how much more a spiritual debt to the God who holds life and death and eternity in his hands. With God, there is no option of declaring bankruptcy. With God, it will not even be written off when we breathe our last. And like my property investing friend, there are so many who don't even realize it. They think everything's going to be okay, but it won't. If we truly understand that we're drowning in debt before God, then how overwhelming that is. How it will fill us with anxiety and despair and shame and guilt. And surely we long desperately for that massive burden to be taken away. And is there a solution? Is there a way to have our debt erased? Is there any way for us to be free of this burden? Oh, yes, there is. And my friends, it's all found in the Bible passage that we're looking at today. Because we're now coming to the end of Jesus' time on that terrible cross. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you'll know that Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested by that angry mob. And he was questioned by the high priest all the while Peter denying him out in the courtyard. And then he was brought before Pilate, who knew that he was innocent, but yet he feared the Jews and he wouldn't do what was right. And instead, Jesus was beaten. And he was flogged mercilessly and a crown of thorns forced down upon him and ridiculed by his captors and then handed over and forced to carry his own cross, stripped naked, metal spikes hammered through his hands and his feet and lifted up for all to see and then left to die the most humiliating, agonizing death. And then we come to this passage that Wes has read for us this morning. John 19, verses 28 to 30. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And friends, this passage is telling us something incredibly important has taken place. And Jesus announces that something incredibly important has taken place. But what is it? Verse 28 says, everything had now been finished. And so Jesus calls for a drink so that he could speak. And the other Gospels, they say at this point, he cried out in a loud voice. And what did he cry out? It is finished. What does he mean? Some people say that this was an anguished cry of defeat. He had tried his best. He had failed. And now he would die a helpless martyr to a lost cause. It's finished. Others say that this was a thankful sigh of relief. He'd been through a terrible ordeal. He'd suffered unspeakable pain, but now he could see the end was coming. It is finished. You know, neither of these suggestions even go close to reality. This was not an anguish cry. This was not a thankful sigh. No, my friends, this was a victorious announcement for the entire world to hear. And his announcement was, it is finished. In Greek, it's just one single word, tetelestai. It means the task is done. It means the mission is complete. But do you know that most literally it means paid in full? This word was used in those days to indicate that a bill, an account, a loan had been repaid. If you cleared an outstanding debt, then they would write across it, tetelestai, paid in full. But do you see? That's the key to understanding what's going on here. Jesus is giving us the most wonderful news that we could ever hear. He is making the best announcement that there could ever be because he is telling us that the awful liability of sin has finally been cleared. Oh, and friends, that's what he was doing on that cross. He was taking this enormous debt that we have incurred, the bill that we could never pay, the punishment that we rightly deserved, and he took it all upon himself, bearing the wrath of God that should have been ours. John doesn't say too much about what happened in those 3 hours, but in the other Gospels we get a glimpse. Matthew 27 says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Darkness, because the Father, the source of light and love and everything good, was separated from his own Son, and he was forsaken as he suffered hellish anguish and torment, and paid and forgave the debt of all who trust in him. And that is why he taught us to pray, forgive us our debts. And that is why in the parable of that servant with the $20 billion account, it goes on to say, at this the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. In John chapter 8, it says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Or can I invite you to listen to these magnificent verses in Colossians chapter 2. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Friends, we had such a great debt. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life to take it all away. The wages of sin is death, but he took our death. He paid our death. He set us free. The Son of God did that for us. And that's why he announced from the cross, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. Can we know that's really true? Can we know that Jesus really has the power to forgive, to free us from the death penalty, to give us eternal life? Well, only if he truly died and if he truly rose again. Only then could we be sure that he has won the victory over sin, death, and hell. Already back then, people were denying it, you know. When they saw him alive, they said, well, he never really died. It was all a fake, a sham, a fraud. Still today, people say that. Did you know that Muslims believe that someone else was substituted at the last minute? It wasn't even Jesus on that cross, they say. And others today, they say he just fainted. He was unconscious. He wasn't really dead. Well, friends, that's why the rest of our passage, John goes to great lengths to prove to us that Jesus, the divine Son, truly did die for us on that cross. And we don't have time to go through all the details, but let's just see four reasons he gives us to believe that it is true. And first of all, there is the actions of those Roman soldiers. Remember, these men, they were professional executioners. They knew how to kill and they knew when someone was dead. And so we're told that the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies left on the crosses overnight because the next day was a special Sabbath. Oh, what holy men. They didn't want to offend God, did they? Even though they just murdered his son. What hypocrites. So they asked for the legs to be broken. And do you know why? Well, last week, Reuben explained to us how the greatest agony of the cross was actually suffocation. It was how you had to lift yourself up on those nails through your feet in order to be able to breathe. And that's what this is about. If those legs were broken, then that was no longer possible. You had no way of lifting yourself, and death would come quickly. But verses 33 and 34 say, but when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. And friends, that reminds us that in the end, Jesus wasn't killed, but he gave his life willingly. And that's why verse 30 says, with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This shows us that Jesus really died. The soldiers made sure of it. You can believe that it's true. The second reason to believe is John's own evidence. Verse 35, he says, the man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. John himself was an eyewitness to all of this, and he saw Jesus die, and we can trust him. He is reliable. It is true. The third reason is God's own word. Verses 36 and 7, it says, these things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Every detail planned by God and revealed beforehand, all taking place just as he had intended. Jesus truly died because he had to die. It was the key to God's entire plan of salvation. And you can believe it. And finally, the fourth reason is his burial. Verses 38 to 42 tell us that Joseph of Arimathea went and asked Pilate for Jesus' body. Do you really think Pilate would have given it if it wasn't Jesus, or if he wasn't dead? And so Joseph, along with Nicodemus, took his body and they prepared it for burial with spices and strips of linen, just as was their custom. And they laid him in a tomb because they knew that he was gone. There was no doubt. We can believe that it's true. Friend, be assured that Jesus, the Almighty Son of the living God, suffered, was crucified, and went all the way to death. And that is our ironclad assurance that the debt of sin was paid in full. He gave himself to pay our ransom and set us free. But the real and urgent question is this: has your debt of sin been repaid? Or is it still owing? Is it actually still hanging over you? Will you still need to make payment yourself on the day when the accounts are settled. In Romans 14 it says, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." I suppose you could ignore that warning. I suppose you could act as if it doesn't really matter. I suppose you could pretend that you will never meet your Maker. Or you could repent, humbly confess your sin to the Lord and seek His grace and His forgiveness. And you could put your hope in Jesus and trust in Him to pay your price, to clear your account and to lift that awful burden that you carry. And look, perhaps you've never done that. Perhaps you still bear the load of that spiritual mortgage that you feel like you will never clear. Perhaps you still feel the weight of your own sin and your shame and the terror that one day payment is going to be demanded. Well, I implore you this morning, hear the good news. Repent and believe. Jesus came to take that weight off you, to release you from all of your guilt and all of your despair. And my friends, if you're here this morning and you have put your faith in Jesus, well, then I just really hope that you have felt the lifting of that burden. Many years ago, I bought my first car, and my mum loaned me the money. And I was really struggling to keep on top of my finances. It really wasn't going well. And my birthday came around, and she gave me a card. And in that card, she had written that her gift to me was to write that loan off. Completely. I can still remember the wonderful feeling of relief. Well, multiply that 100 times. No, multiply that 1 billion times for the relief that you can feel knowing what Jesus has done for you. No more debt. No more slavery. No more shame. No more judgment. No more fear. Every single sin paid for. All our selfishness paid for. Our pride paid for. Our immorality and our failures paid for. The Lord comes to us and He says, "My daughter, my son, your slate is wiped clean. You're righteous in my sight." Have you experienced that? Can you feel it? No longer drowning in debt, but the burden lifted as all of those things are nailed to the cross. Could there be anything greater? Isn't that why we rejoice and be glad? Friends, this is why this Friday is so good. Because Jesus gave His life for us on that cross. And He won the ultimate victory. And because He did, it is finished. The debt is gone. And it is paid in full. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we want to ask You this morning that You would help us truly to feel the weight of our own sinfulness, so that we might also be able to feel the awesome relief of Your forgiveness. Lord, how can we ever thank You enough? Lord Jesus, how can we thank You enough for taking our place, for bearing our punishment, for rescuing our souls? We know we're no longer drowning in debt, because You paid it all. We know that it is finished. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.